As you might have mentioned, this is a very first type of research of this kind when we solely focused on women who have done drug offending. Just to explain what the drug offending meant in our understanding, we used the definition of the European Center of Drug Crimes, which exists under the EU umbrella, and they define drug crimes as very broad activities, but we took two elements, which was crimes committed in the violation of drug laws in the country. So we left the economic crimes when people do commit economic crimes to support their drug habits, and we also left the crimes when people commit drugs under the drug effect. So we only solely focused on actual non-violent drug offenses committed by women. So we focused on 51 countries, which is entire Europe and three Central Asian countries, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and Kyrgyzstan. And our findings were that from over 112,000 women who are in prisons in the entire region of Europe and Central Asia, quarter of them, which means every fourth of these women, are in prisons for non-violent drug offending. So in the percentages, that gives us 28% of these women. But in certain countries, in individual countries, we found that these percentages are much higher than in other countries. For example, in Tajikistan, we found that the total number of women in prison is about 600, but 70% of these women are in prison for drug offending. Or, for example, in Latvia, 68% of women in prisons are for drug offending, and other higher figures include Portugal, Estonia, Spain, Greece, Italy, Sweden, and Georgia, as well as Russia. Russia is a very interesting example because of the entire kind of women's population, prison population is quite high, but as for the drug offending women, in the past 5 years, women drug offenders in Russia have been doubled, actually, from 10,000 to 20,000. So at the moment, Russia has about nearly 20,000 women in prisons who are in prisons for non-violent drug offending. And this is we should not forget that this is more than entire European Union women's numbers in prisons.
Just now I saw that there is a plan to change legislation in Russia so that users of drugs that are caught second or third time will face prison terms for, I think, 2 years or something like that.
So, yeah, it is another drastic kind of a dramatic development of drug, you know, Russia's approach to how drug policies have to be dealt with or how drug policies have to be designed. According to Ivanov, who is the head of the anti-drug agency in Russia, there are over 5 million drug users in Russia, from which 2 million are injecting drug users. HIV and AIDS epidemic is peaking in Russia, and we know of that. And then if this legislation, as you mentioned, and you are quite aware of the developments there, if this legislation is passed by the parliament in Russia, that means that Russia will face millions of people in prisons, and then the country simply does not have the infrastructure to deal with it. This is another development that the legislators should look at. And it's not only about males, it's about women, and it's about the entire society, criminalizing the entire society of the country. So it's quite a cautionary kind of a development that needs to be internationally discussed and debated.
But if we return back to the numbers, because there are, as you said, quite big variations in percentages of women incarcerated due to drugs. What do you ascribe these variations to?
What does it describe?
Now, why are in certain countries up to 50%, even 70% of women in jails due to drugs, and in other countries 25%, 28%?
Yes, Thank you. Well, it's a really interesting question, because what happens is that, of course, different countries have their own problems and their own policies. Some countries have much stricter approaches to drugs and an entire criminal justice system. Some countries have less kind of stronger approaches. But also countries like Spain or Portugal, because even though the approaches are quite kind of so-called liberal approaches, they still face quite high number of they still have quite high number of women in prison. And while speaking to the Spanish prison administration, they very openly told us that most of the women who are in prisons for drug offending are women from Latin America. So these are the women who are caught up in drug trafficking, and they are so-called drug mules, which is the kind of the concept that we all know of when we deal with women who are involved in drug trafficking. These are women who are sent from certain Latin American countries to transfer drugs through Spain into other European countries, and then they are caught in Spain or in Portugal. And Portugal is another interesting example, because, of course, Portugal's percentages are quite high, but we have to remember that a couple of years ago it was even higher. So the numbers actually are coming down from 70%, which was just a few years ago. We are at about 47% now, so it's still high, it's still very high, but we are coming down. We are kind of seeing certain decreases in women drug offending. Or, for example, in other countries like Georgia, we have 34% of women in prisons for drug offending. But what happens there in this country is that drug policies are constructed in a way that we have women who serve drug offending sentences in prisons for drug use, simple drug use, for more than 17 years. So these women have their 3-4 children out of prisons, their husbands are in prisons. Very often, if it's not drug use, often women are being girlfriends or partners of people who are maybe involved in drug trafficking. And then very often these women are arrested by association, because they happen to be in the place where this drug dealing happens. They happen to be living in the houses where drug dealers are dealing with drugs, etc. And then we do have that situation, individual cases, when we know that women simply don't know what's going on, but they are arrested by association, so that there is a drug involvement by them.
Could you please tell us more about who these women are? You've already mentioned a few facts that are facing these jail terms. What are their problems?
Of course, I mean, we have variety of segments here that we have to look at. And just recently, actually, a year ago, the major UN agency that deals with women's rights, it's called UN Women, and Michelle, they actually just reported the progress on women's development in the world, and they mentioned in the report that the crimes for which women are in prisons mostly are so-called economic crimes. And then they defined which crimes are these. And then these are economic crimes, which is actually crimes against property, which is stealing and, you know, theft, etc., and drug crimes. So we should not really forget that most of the women who are involved in petty crimes, and then mostly drug offending as well, they are women who come from marginalized societies, who have very, very low social background, and very, very low education as well. For example, one of the research that comes from Portugal mentions that very often we have generations of women in prisons. For example, when grandmother is imprisoned, then the daughter is in prison, and then the granddaughter is in prison for the same types of crimes. So these are the kind of dynamics that we see in individual countries. And then we see that in certain societies, the state and the government actually try to criminalize and punish the way out of these social problems. So instead of looking at these problems from economic and social kind of development side, we are criminalizing these the activities, which on one side might need to be criminalized indeed if it's
Yes, of course, yeah. We're listening to you.
If it's a crime that needs to be criminalized, and if it's a crime that is quite dangerous for society, we are not saying that we don't need prisons. We do need prisons, and there are people who need to be in prisons, but there are lots of people who are simply caught up in drug offending, and then they don't need to be in prisons because they are there for social issues and for their economic issues. And those issues, again, are the ones that need to be looked at individually, and then countries need to be looking at their social, drug and criminal policies, how these policies are constructed in a way that do not really affect women more than it affects men. Because for the moment, we see that sometimes directly or sometimes indirectly, these women are affected by the drug laws more than men are.
So, for instance, the West probably has legislation that is, when it comes to drugs, European Union, not the United States, but is quite, it can be handled. It's not the best, but okay. What needs to be changed in the West when it comes to incarcerating women? Because it's probably not mostly due to possession.
There needs to be changed. A lot of things need to be changed, actually, because in the European Union we have much more kind of a better situation than we have it in certain countries. But still, again, if we look at Spain, Portugal, Italy, we have quite high numbers. So we need to be looking into the reasons and into the causes why these offences really happen, and also we cannot only look at drug policies detached from criminal justice policies and human rights. We need to be looking at these issues into the complex and analyze what are the main aspects. We need to be using human rights approaches, which is the main kind of an aspect that we advocate for. Basically, this means that we shall design our policies in a way that does not affect certain groups of people or individuals more than it does others. So we need to be looking at best interests of child, which is kind of also one of the reasons when we talk about women and when we talk about statistics, we should not forget that behind each of these numbers, we have women and we have their children and we have their families left behind. And then, of course, there needs to be certain policies in place which would guarantee and protect children, for example, from, having their mothers or parents taken out. So that's kind of a thing that we need to be looking at. And then, in terms of having something in place in the whole society, I think it's very easy often to create an us and them dynamic between those people who commit crimes and those people who use drugs. And then, those also who design the policies. But what we really need to do is to understand that this is entire society, this is our community, this is us. And I think that that's kind of the ability to associate ourselves from these social problems and from these people who do these other things that we do not do, that allows us to justify within ourselves that it's okay to take such a harsh punitive approach, discriminate or stigmatize particular groups and send them to prisons without even caring for, what happens afterwards. So I think that's kind of an entire dynamic kind of approach that we really need to think from. And this is either West or East, that's kind of the approach that we advocate for. And it's kind of our general approach as well as country-specific approach as well. And one of the things that we plan is to look at individual country policies in three dynamics. So how the drug policies are constructed, how the criminal justice policies are constructed, and what are the human rights effects. And then again, it goes to describing how women are caught up in the system that they are.
Eka, just now there has been a meeting, United Nations meeting on drugs and crime in Vienna. Have any of these statistics been presented to those people over there as well?
Yes, well, we actually launched this publication on 12th of March, which was the opening of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. I myself and two of my colleagues were present there, and then we made sure that we would engage with the delegations and distribute the publications. We did it indeed, and there was also a resolution on women, which is one of the kind of comprehensive documents that I should say the Commission on Narcotic Drugs ever adopted and passed. And this resolution on women kind of requires that the UNODC, which is the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, will take certain measures to look at this issue in more in-depth way. And this only does not include women who do drug offending, but also women who use drugs, either in society or in prisons, and also, you know, many, many other elements around this issue. For example, women-specific harm reduction services and the treatment options and HIV/AIDS prevention amongst those women who use drugs, etc. There's many other issues that this particular resolution deals with. And this was quite good kind of a moment for us to distribute the publications and then to actually somehow try to increase the awareness of delegations on this particular issue. And then, of course, we plan to follow up on that with certain friendly delegations or unfriendly delegations, but still interested. And that this will be kind of a continuation of our publication in future.
Mrs. Eka Jakubishvili, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And
thank
we will, of course, return to you because we understand you will follow on this story and try to establish a better reality for women when it comes to these problems.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. Thank you.